صحبه ومن استنى بسنة إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic of today's khutbah was about how Allah has set the provision for every human being in this life and how that setting for each and every one of us is a trial and a test. From the time that we are born, whilst we're in the womb as an embryo, we're informed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the angel comes at the beginning of the 6th month and blows in the spirit. And at that time, the angel also records certain things concerning each and every one of us. Among them is what we will earn in this life. The total amount of money, wealth, etc. that we will manage to gather around ourselves, all of it has already been written. Written ultimately in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, where all the destinies of everything was already written some 50,000 years before the creation of this world, according to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us. Written again at the time of the birth of each and every one of us. And we know that when we die, none of us will take from this world anything that we didn't bring in with us besides our deeds. So it's something for us to reflect on, that our provision, what we are going to earn in this life, has already been set. It doesn't mean that we don't strive to improve the quality of our life, that we are fatalists, as some may try to describe Muslim Islam as being a fatalistic type religion, where because of these teachings, Muslims cannot progress. They are backward, third world, etc. at this point in time, because of the fact of their belief in destiny. However, this is not the case at all, because prior to this period where we were the third world, there was a time when we were the first world, where Muslims were the rulers, although they didn't divide the world into first world and second world as the present rulers now divided. But the Muslim world was the leading world, the world of knowledge, the world of science, the world of progress and development. That was the Muslim world. World where people were quite rich, used their riches for the benefit of people. I mean, some abused it, we're not saying nay, but many used it for the benefit of human society, its growth and its development. And the beliefs that they had then, in terms of destiny, are the same beliefs that we have now. So the reason for the backwardness of Muslims today has nothing to do with their belief in the destiny, which is a part and parcel of our faith. The 6th pillar of faith is belief in the destiny, what is good of it and what is evil relative to ourselves. This is part of our faith. What our belief does provide for us is a sense of contentment. Contentment after we have striven our utmost. We know we are obliged to use whatever means are available in this life to gather for ourselves whatever we can. Allah has provided the things of this life for our benefit. And it is our right to try to utilize it, to gather as much and to utilize it as best as possible. However, when we make our utmost efforts, we then put our trust in Allah as to the result of our efforts. Because no matter what we plan, no matter what we desire, no matter how hard we strive, What has been destined for us is what will come to us. So, this life is a test for each and every one according to how Allah has set the provision for us. Some have been given a lot and some have been given little. But in both cases, it is a test. Allah has created man in a state of social interdependence. That is, that he cannot exist as an individual. He cannot function independent from the rest of mankind. To fulfill his needs, he must depend on other human beings, as other human beings depend on him to fulfill their needs. So there's this interdependence. All human beings depend on other human beings. And Allah has made some rich, wealthy, and has made some poor and destitute. And when he made this situation, he also placed certain rules and certain principles in order that this separation or this difference between the rich and the poor not be a source of harm to men, to human society, but that it be a source of benefit. That is, that difference that is there is fundamentally for the benefit of human society, for the benefit of the human, of the human being, of the individual. It is a benefit in the sense that it is an opportunity for man to develop the higher qualities, the higher spiritual qualities, among which are generosity. Generosity, kindness, concern, care, all of these qualities develop only in a circumstance where there is a need, where there is a difference. If we all had the same amount of wealth, then there would be no one who would be in need for us to give. And there would be no challenge to our desire to possess. Allah has created in us a natural desire to possess, to own. But at the same time, He has created a circumstance where there is a need for us to share. And the quality of sharing is a higher quality. The quality of possessing is a necessary quality in this life. For survival, we have to have a natural desire to want to possess certain things which are necessary for our existence. But the higher quality is the one of sharing, giving of what we have, not holding on to it that firmly. So the circumstance of the life is what creates an environment in which the higher spiritual qualities of kindness, generosity, sympathy, etc. can develop. Therefore, it is a test for those who Allah has blessed with an excess of wealth or with plenty, that they have a responsibility to share with those who are in need. Not merely those who come to them with their hands out, begging, asking, but it is their responsibility to go and find those who are in need to share. Because it's not a favor that we do for those who are in need when we give because they put their hand out. This is a right which they have, that even if somebody is not putting his hand out, we are required to go and find those who are in need. We know amongst the heads of expenditure in the zakah, there is those who are considered to be poor, who are known to be poor, who we give because the knowledge is available to those in charge of the distribution of zakah. But there are also those who are not known. And it's the requirement of the community to go and seek these people out. Those who are poor but do not wish to put themselves in a position of begging. They would prefer to suffer quietly. We have to go and seek these out. So it is a blessing. A blessing from Allah if we become a source of helping other people. That Allah has given us plenty and put us in an opportunity to help others. Because the plenty that we have received is by the destiny of Allah. And if we share that plenty with others, Allah blesses us, rewards us for that. So He has granted us a favor, and then He rewards us for utilizing that favor. This is a great blessing. It's from the grace of Allah that He gives us this opportunity. And the Imam quoted a hadith reported by Tabarani, in which the Prophet ﷺ informed us that Allah has some people whom He has chosen to bless with wealth in order that they may share this wealth with others and to help those who are in need. However, if they do not do so, then Allah takes it away from them and gives it to others. And, of course, he also quoted the verse from the Quran in which Allah said, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And if you give thanks to Allah for what blessing Allah has given, then He will increase it. But if we disbelieve, then His punishment is great. If we thank Allah for what He has given us, not thanking merely by words. Words at the beginning. We spoke about that in the previous session. That we are required as Muslims to thank those who help us. Thank Allah for what He has given us. However, the greater aspect of thanks is in living that gratitude. We thank Allah by giving of what He has given us. This is the greater thanks. And when we do not do so, this is what is described as kufran in ni'mah, a disbelief in the blessings of God. And Allah has promised a severe punishment for those who disbelieve in His blessings. Disbelieving not in that they're saying, well, this is not from Allah, but in not giving, sharing of it with others, of in not using it in accordance with the laws of Allah. This is the disbelief. Disbelief in action. Then the Imam went on quoting various hadiths, all of which speak to the principle of Muslims helping those in need in this life. That if we see a Muslim in a state of calamity and we help that Muslim, Allah will help us, removing some of the calamities of the Day of Judgment. That the reward that Allah gives us on that day will be of the same description or general description what He'll give us on that day will be similar to what we do in this life. That if we cover a Muslim whose situation is terrible, rather than spreading it all over the place and creating ill feelings of Muslims towards this person, we cover it and try to help this person get himself together, then Allah will cover some of our sins on the Day of Judgment that we would not like to be known to everybody. You know, this is something which the Prophet Muhammad has encouraged us in a variety of different ways. That if we make things easy for our Muslim brothers, somebody borrows money from us, and we know that individual doesn't have the means to pay it back, we have a choice. We can either take him to court or, you know, put him in a situation which is very embarrassing, etc., and force him to pay it back even though he has no means. Or we can take it easy with him. Let it slide. We can either cancel it, put it in the category of zakah, because he may be a recipient of zakah, or sadaqah. Or we can give him a period of time, because we might need the money too. You know, we might be in need of that money. So we just say, well, okay, we'll give you a longer period of time in which to pay it. But the point is that we make it easy for that individual. That if we do that on the Day of Judgment, when we will be in need of Allah taking it easy on us in certain judgments, in certain cases, then He would do that for us. Then he quoted, you know, other well-known hadith, you know, wherein the Muslim is described as the brother of his fellow believer, that he does not oppress him, he is not scornful towards him. That Muslims are like one building, one structure, each part supporting the other. The part that is weak is supported by the parts that are strong. And all of this, the helping. And of course, the helping is not only limited to Muslims. For Muslims, it's helping everybody. But of course, we have to start with our Muslim brothers and sisters, because they have the first right on whatever Allah has blessed us with. But that help goes beyond them also. If we see people, others who are in need, we know during the time of the righteous caliph, etc., monies were given to non-Muslims within the Muslim state to help those who are in need, those who are poor. So Muslims do not limit their kindness or their generosity, etc., only to other Muslims.